everyone. I'm Gary Nall. Nice to have you with us today. This is the place to be every day to learn about how to live a longer and healthier and happier life. We're beginning with a study from Rangsit University, which is in Thailand. It's a meta-analysis, meaning they looked at many different studies, and they found there was a definite benefit if you suffer from a condition that's debilitating. It affects the liver. It's called MAFLD. Now, you may not have heard of it. I know you've heard of non-alcoholic fatty liver disease, meaning your liver is saturated with fat, not because you've drank alcohol, mainly because of a high fructose diet, a lot of soft drinks. But this is different. This is called metabolic dysfunction-associated fatty liver disease. And they found in this study, published in the peer-reviewed journal Scientific Reports, that when you have curcumin, it makes a big difference. It can help you with this. And it's based upon evidence of hepatic stenosis, along with one or more of the following conditions, like if you're overweight, if you have type 2 diabetes, and you have what is called metabolic dysregulation, which millions of Americans have. So this will help you. The takeaway message, after looking at 16 randomized controlled trials, is that you really benefit if you have this condition by taking curcumin, all right? And they tested it against placebo, so it really works. Now, something else that works, and it's so easy to put into our diet, and we should be doing it on a regular basis, is broccoli. Why? Because according to Baylor College of Medicine, broccoli has nutrients in it, what are called phytonutrients, that fight leukemia, especially acute lymphoblastic leukemia, which is a common form of cancer found in children. It's caused when the bone marrow produces too many immature white blood cells, and these lymphoblasts, which crowd out healthy cells, causing the leukemia. If you have bone pain, nosebleeds, swollen lymph nodes, and fever. And the cure rate for children is high. Almost 80% of cases are cured. But new hope can be found in what is called, you've heard me mention it many times, sulforaphane, S-U-L-F-O-R-A-P-H-A-N-E. That's the sulfur that is naturally occurring in cruciferous vegetables. Also, it's in onions and garlic, in broccoli, cauliflower, Brussels sprouts, asparagus, kale, mustard greens, radishes, and watercress. So scientists at Baylor College of Medicine found that this sulforaphane was able to kill leukemia cells without any harm. That's good news. That's a natural form of functional chemotherapy. And this was published in the scientific peer-reviewed journal PLOS ONE. So good news there. Again, something simple within our means that we can help with disease. Now, do altered gut microbiomes, meaning the good bacteria in your gut, affect the risk of attention deficit hyperactivity disorder? Well, I'll tell you one thing I know from personal experience and a clinical study does, sugar. But we're not talking about that just yet. But this is from the Shangung University College of Medicine in Taiwan. It was published in the Journal of Child Psychology and Psychiatry, and it shows that your gut microbiome composition can affect a children's susceptibility to attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, ADHD. Why? Because your human gastrointestinal tract hosts a large population of microorganisms like bacteria and viruses and fungi. And when investigators compared fecal samples from children with ADHD and children who are healthy, it showed that the ADHD children had higher levels of certain type of fungi and lower levels of others, and they found that by balancing these, meaning a healthy diet, a clean diet, without the sugar, refined carbohydrates, and without a high acid foods like all the meat, you can clean up your gut, detoxify, and put in good probiotics, prebiotics, yogurts, and kefirs, and miso, tempeh, tofu, or just take a supplement. Now, just for a moment, about 25 years ago, I did a study. Maybe some of you who are watching and listening right now, remember this study. You had to have been diagnosed by a professional, board-certified person in the field, neurologist, with ADHD, and you had to be on medications for at least 2 years to qualify to get into the study. The study lasted for 3 months. The first day of the study, it was held at 83rd Street in our large ground floor office, which is about almost 2,500 square feet, holds a lot of people. And the kids were there with their parents, and they were bouncing off the walls, yelling and screaming and throwing things. And so I said thereafter not to bring the kids, just the adults. And they showed that their paperwork, and one of them was a board-certified physician in two different board certifications, very orthodox. And she said, there's some times when my kids act normal, and other times they just, quote, bounce off the walls. The first step, and this is for anyone who wants to help a child or a teenager or an adult with some type of attention deficit disorder, get rid of all the refined carbohydrates, all the simple carbs, all the sugars, all the soft drinks, carbonated beverages, coffee, any caffeine in any amount, got to go. And then detoxify, get rid of the meat in the diet, the gluten in the diet, the dairy in the diet, get rid of it completely. Then start to rejuvenate, cleanse, juicing every day, and add one extra juice per day until you're up to 6 glasses of juice per day. And then certain supplements and a lot of probiotics, because we found in my own study that people with ADHD had irregularity in their, and also with autism, in their gut microbiome. So we started to get them to have a lot of things like eating low-sodium sauerkraut and drinking low-sodium sauerkraut juice and beet juice to rebuild the healthy bacteria. And then we gave them supplements into the billions per day, per tablet. Well, lo and behold, at the end of 3 months, 93% of all the people diagnosed with ADHD and ADD were completely normal. And one other thing, and those kids that had this, when I spoke to them near the end, I said, well, you're having some trouble in school? Yeah. Is it in every class? No. Is it in the classes where you like the teacher and are interested in what's being taught? No. It's in the class where you're having a problem with the teacher or the course, or you don't like the material? Yeah. When you get out of school, do you still manifest your agitation, hypervigilance, hyperkinetic activity? No. Okay. So when does this really manifest? And it was when they eat sugar or caffeine. It's like it ignites them. And when they're around something they don't like or are bored with it. So you have to take that into consideration also. Too many kids have been misdiagnosed, overdiagnosed, and overdrugged for a condition that can be handled by simply lifestyle and behavior modification. Now, from the University of Illinois at Urbana comes a study about exercise boosts your brain health with chemical signaling. Now, this is important. This adds on to a study I mentioned last week, similar. What it says, quite simply, is this. Physical activity is shown to be associated with improving our physical and mental health. And the Beekman Institute for Advanced Science and Technology has shown that it can also improve brain health directly. It helps the signals in the brain, the chemical signals, when you exercise. It helps the muscles. It helps the neurons. It helps the neuron network. It helps increase blood supply to the brain. All these are a benefit. One more reason to exercise, and also it benefits the hippocampus. The hippocampus, H-I-P-P-O-C-A-M-P-U-S, could therefore lead to exercise-based treatments for conditions including Alzheimer's disease and dementia. It also helps people with, let's say, depression on a spectrum from minor to severe. So all good, and it can be proven now how it changes your blood chemistry. Also, this is an important study. This is from Brigham and Women's Hospital. Over 50% of the top-selling Medicare drugs have low added therapeutic benefit. So your big brand names, very costly, they frequently cost 2 to 3 to 400% more than the average drug, depending upon where you're buying it, including in other countries, same drug. But many of the top-selling brand drugs can provide little added therapeutic benefit. That's what the study found. So why are we then covering these? Why don't we simply say, if there's no real therapeutic benefit, then don't use them? And this was published in the Journal of the American Medical Association. So, you know, we're using overly priced, ineffective drugs, over half of them in this study. Wow. And that meant for diabetes, cancer, and respiratory disease. So we think that we're getting the best drugs. We're not. And they took a look at over 49 different drugs. So it shows you there's a whole lot there and that we haven't studied. Also from Aarhus University in Denmark, hibernating bears may hold the secret to preventing blood clots in humans. Well, that's interesting. That's an original story. I've never heard of that before. What it means is this. We all know, according to this university, that blood clots can develop when people are inactive for long periods of time. However, bears that hibernate and still they're not moving for months, why doesn't that happen to them getting blood clots? But it doesn't. And it took 13 years, but this study's authors say that there is a protein called HSP47 that typically helps fight inflammation conditions in the body. And this protein is the key to a natural mechanism to protect the body against blood clots when it cannot move. And this study is very exciting as it has the potential to be of great importance to people at risk of developing blood clots due to inactivity. Something new. They're working on it. It's not right now, but at least they've found why the bears don't die from blood clots. And that could help us. That's the latest on health and healing. Remember, you can go to GaryNall.com and see all types of articles, essays, commentaries, and the latest investigative reports in a whole lot of areas. So, GaryNall.com. Back in a moment. Please stay with us. Welcome back, everyone. I'm Gary Nall. I've been playing a series of video clips on different topics. The other day, I played one on poverty in older people, homelessness. And if you go to our site, you'll see all these different little short video clips. Some are a half hour long, but I can only play a certain amount. It was to just share with you that there are millions and millions of Americans who are suffering, and I don't believe they should suffer. I believe we had the means and the integrity to help them. But unfortunately, if you don't know about a problem, how can you help with a solution? And that's why I gave the emphasis on a 97-year-old woman who was not allowed back into the country, and then they cut her pension in half but kept her rent high. She couldn't afford the rent, and her apartment was empty for over 3 years, but all the other apartments were pretty much empty, and the government didn't see that, well, let's put this woman back in, give her back her pension. And that was the Australian government. But that's also happening here in the United States. We have an epidemic of loneliness and no social contact with a lot of people. Just imagine, for example, living in Chicago in a high crime area. You're going to think twice before you go out if you're an older person, because you're going to be vulnerable, because they don't care that you're older or you're a woman or you're a man and can't defend yourself. They're the number one victims that we have every day all across America. So I'm playing clips showing you the problem, but also suggesting positive solutions. I'm going to play a clip now you've not seen. And this is actually about to happen in the United States. They're building what they're calling these wonderful, can't-miss, must-live-there smart cities, from small cities to larger cities. And they really make it sound great. But they're not. It is dystopian. How dystopian? You're going to see. And you can go to PRN.live, scroll down to where it says shows, and then scroll from there to archives, Gary and All Show, and you'll watch it in real time. You really have to watch this, because this is not the future. This is right now as we speak. This is just yesterday in Oxford, England, but it's happening all across the world. It's all sponsored by the World Economic Forum, Klaus Schwab, and the people who want to have you own nothing and be happy. And we have to say no and fight back. I want your solutions. I want your input. I want to know what you feel and think about this. So as soon as this clip is finished, we'll go to a break, come back from the break, and we'll talk with you. I'd like to hear what you have to say. We have a lot of really bright people who are on top of this, who see the larger picture, who understand consequences of doing nothing. Give us a call, please. 888-874-4888. 888-874-4888. Now to the clip. 888.
Ah, smart cities. The way of the future. Clean, green, and so convenient. Everything just right there in the palm of your hand. You may know them by the name of 20-minute neighborhoods or 20-minute cities. Oh, I mean 15-minute cities. Sorry, it changed a while back. Oh, okay, 10-minute cities. Right, okay, wait, what? You gotta be kidding me. 5-minute cities? Well, this is changing really fast.
I don't like this.
What are they going to be like? And where are they going to be? Especially here in New Zealand. Well, I can tell you, it's not just going to be Hamilton. And it's not just going to be Wellington. And it's not just going to be Christchurch. Because New Zealand is the first country in the whole world to have every one of its city councils signed up to the Smart City Scheme. Yay! So, it's time we learn what they're truly about, because they're coming in like a flood. Through more and more geoengineered weather disasters and the false climate change narrative, we are about to be ushered into the age of managed retreat, into resilient and sustainable cities, the age of globalist tyranny like never before. I know this video is quite long, but there's information we need to know about what the reality of smart cities is. And even in this time frame, I'll barely be able to skim the surface.
You're in coalition with the far right.
I can tell you one thing. Your government certainly doesn't intend on discussing the truth about smart cities with you. They couldn't give a toss about full disclosure or getting your consent for any of it. In fact, they know that if you knew the reality, you'd do all you could do to prevent it. So, seeing they don't want to give us the truth, let's go have a look for ourselves, shall we?
Questions loom over who will foot the bill of New Zealand's climate adaptation plan. The government's unveiled a framework for dealing with the impact of rising seas, increasing heat and extreme weather. It will outline plans for abandoning areas no longer safe to live in and a funding model for the transition.
Co-leader of the Green Party, James Shaw, has recently presented what's called the Climate Adaptation Plan. He said that he hopes it will become legislated within the next few months. A major focus of the Climate Adaptation Plan, also known as the National Adaptation Plan, is what's been called managed retreat. This is the term that's been given to the plan to relocate rural dwellers to smart city locations.
And so one of the things in the adaptation plan is that we're going to become more directive about where we're able to build in the future.
Extensive Resource Management Act reform is underway in New Zealand, and James Shaw tells us that managed retreat laws will extend this reform much further. He says that these changes will affect up to 50% of New Zealanders, in particular those who live on or near the coast. These laws will not only apply to future building, but also to existing homes and businesses. After the devastating Cyclone Gabrielle hit our nation, Jack Tame talked with Grant Robertson on NZ Q&A. Unusually, Mr. Robertson didn't seem too interested in talking about emissions reductions this time, as it appears that that phrase is very much last year. But what he did seem far more excited to talk about was the subject of resilient cities and managed retreat.
There's two words New Zealanders are going to get used to hearing over the next few years is managed retreat. We have to understand where communities can be made more resilient, where we can do things to the infrastructure so they can stay where they are, and other communities and neighbourhoods where actually we have to accept it's no longer appropriate.
And now we're promised even more extensive resource management system reform via the Severe Weather Emergency Recovery Legislation Bill, which is also on its way.
I move that the Severe Weather Emergency Recovery Legislation Bill be now read a first time. I intend to move that the bill be reported to the House by the 5th of April 2023.
This bill will grant emergency powers to the government to determine a weather event as a severe emergency and then take whatever actions they deem necessary in response to that emergency. Like COVID emergency powers, but this time pertaining to weather. Immediately after the cyclone hit Hawke's Bay, James Shaw's message was given centre stage. The very next day, he delivered an emotive speech to Parliament about how we must hasten the Climate Adaptation Plan into legislation, complete with a skillfully inserted Jacinda-style manipulation in regards to the NRA.
I have to say that as I stand here today, I struggle to find words to express what I'm thinking and feeling about this particular crisis. I don't think I've ever felt as sad or as angry about the lost decades that we spent bickering and arguing about whether climate change was real or not, whether it was caused by humans or not, whether it was bad or not, whether we should do something about it or not, because it is clearly here now. And if we do not act, it will get worse. I have to say, I've been recalling actually a quote from a different time about a different crisis. The era of procrastinations, of half measures, of soothing and baffling expedients, of delays is coming to its close. In its place, we are entering a period of consequences. And there will be people who say, you know, just as the National Rifle Association of the United States does about shootings over there, it's too soon to talk about these things, but we are standing in it right now. This is a climate change related event. We need to stop making excuses for inaction. We cannot put our heads in the sand when the beach is flooding. We must act now.
Wow, such bold statements from a man who has a business background but is far from a climate scientist. Personally, I believe the reason that he made such a glaringly deliberate comment about the NRA and pushing towards the disarming of America, because let's face it, that's what that's all about, is because James Shaw is an absolute New Zealand poster boy for the globalist agenda and for UN agendas specifically. As is revealed on his LinkedIn profile, he's been a consultant for the Hong Kong Shanghai Bank, Pharmaceuticals. He worked for PricewaterhouseCoopers, a company which has proven to be invaluable in the creating of wealth, but only for the already wealthy, by extracting it from the underlying economy. And he also worked as the president of AIESECNZ, as well as Victoria, and is still on the advisory board today. This is a non-governmental organisation in consultative status with the United Nations Economic and Social Council and is an independent arm of the UN Department of Public Information and the UN's Office of the Secretary General's Envoy on Youth. So as you can see, this man is not a greenie. He's a globalist. He's not working for you. It's nothing but a facade that he's trying to protect you from the climate through this brilliant idea of managed retreat. And this is not even a Green Party idea. The term managed retreat is a term first introduced by, believe it or not, the World Economic Forum. It's their idea. And just like all their other policies, the leaders of the world are obeying its requirements at whatever the cost. There are many articles on their forum that speak about managed retreat. New Zealand even had a starring role in one of them recently, soon after Cyclone Gabrielle. It didn't take the World Economic Forum long at all to turn what happened in Hawke's Bay into a stirring and cinematic piece of propaganda. Apparently, the residents of Hawke's Bay are under threat from rising seas. As always, not a shred of actual proof is provided to back up this claim. A cyclone and a flood is a completely different issue than rising sea levels. See how they blatantly manipulate the truth? What a load of garbage. I know people who live in Napier, and they can say with certainty that the sea is right where it's always been. Now, nations all over the world are executing managed retreats, always presenting it as if it's a response thought up by that nation's own government, when it's nothing more than a corporate globalist scheme being executed all over the world for globalist purposes. Managed retreat is simply the mechanism being used to move people into resilient cities. But what is a resilient city? I mean, I appreciate the Wellington City Council telling us that Resilient Cities Network is owned by the deeply corrupt Rockefeller Foundation, but why is this lady holding up a sign that pushes globalist ideology? I mean, wouldn't managed retreat into resilient cities be more about things like, I don't know, raised housing to protect from floods and earthquake-proof buildings? Well, apparently no, because a resilient city is a smart city. They're one and the same. A city that's digitally empowered to survive, adapt, and thrive. Whatever. It's got nothing to do with surviving, thriving, resilience. Nothing at all. It's a pack of lies. Take a look at any smart city technology and you'll see that they're all about surveillance, tracking, and facilitating future lockdowns and controlling humanity. Smart city technologies are not about the environment. And getting you within the confines of a smart city through managed retreat, ushered in by geoengineered weather events, is being cloaked as protecting you from the climate, protection of the climate, and also about your convenience. But it's all one giant scam. Let's take a little skim through this article about managed retreat from the New Zealand Herald a couple of weeks after Cyclone Gabrielle. A top Kiwi environmental planner, Christina Hanna, says she prefers the term remaking of space, which is another buzz phrase for the scheme. They love rewords, it seems, like remaking, reimagining, rethinking, resilience, retreat, relocate, reset. Basically redoing everything and removing human rights in the process. Anyway, as it explains here, managed retreat will involve buyouts, land swaps, rebuild restrictions, land use control, and compulsory property acquisitions, aka government theft of property. And don't you just love the arrogant way they describe dislocating people from their land as challenging? And how they describe this as something that the people are asking for because of climate change. Then they double down on their manipulation, giving us a random example of how Maori are the example for us here, because back in 1850, there was a chief who shifted his people because of a flood. Just to clarify, we are not asking for managed retreat or smart cities. That's a lie. In fact, it's quite the opposite. People all over the world are vehemently expressing their opposition, actually, and being completely overridden by globalist-controlled governments. There's token references here about how Maori may have their rights upheld, but not a single mention of Pākehā having any rights whatsoever. I'm not sure that that's not just a little racist. And then at the end of the article, it tells us that James Shaw's climate adaptation plan is going to take care of the details of it all. No public consultation will be necessary here. And then it finishes with saying, this propaganda has been brought to you by the New Zealand government, basically. By revealing how this woman is funded extensively by the government to say what they tell her to say. That's how science works, apparently. Truth, money. And did you know, as it states here on this article on the Smart Cities World website, New Zealand's actually the first nation in the whole world to have all its local councils join the Smart Cities Council. So it's not a matter of which of our cities are going to be developed into smart cities. Apparently, we're going to be an entire country of smart cities, whether we like it or not. It's all in keeping with our WEF AI pilot project nation status and its clear description of how New Zealand is going to be used as a pioneering nation for the new era of AI technologies, particularly tracking and surveillance and all its corresponding legislations. These white papers here describe what they call soft laws and also hard laws, and also enforcement of new AI procedures and policies. Arthur talks about how punitive measures should be taken against those who don't comply, with every aspect of their lives being monitored, reported and controlled by means of electronic surveillance. Despite what you may hear from our globalist government, managed retreat is nothing more than the term assigned to a worldwide operation of monumental magnitude to initiate the globalist agenda of herding the masses into small and controlled zones. These zones will be more effective in their control if they're away from the coast. The coastlines present many threats to this agenda. Access to food from the sea, water that could be desalinated, as well as entry and exit points, which would be difficult to police. A coastline that's been cleansed of peasants would free up the elites to bring in and out whatever they choose to, without the knowledge of those peasants and their annoying objections. I imagine the coast would also be prime real estate for the elites, especially once things are in place and the geoengineering can cease and the climate change facade can finally be dropped. These new safe and protected areas are being presented as smart cities. But just as the term managed retreat is a form of neuro-linguistic programming, so is the term smart city. The term managed retreat is a fear mechanism to imply that an enemy is approaching, in this case, nature, and they will manage the situation.
It goes on for about an hour. Here's what is also said and shown. In the smart cities, and they had their first 15 minutes, and 15 minutes means whatever you need in your life, a dry cleaner, a restaurant, a movie theater, it'll be within 15 minutes of where you live. But now they've made it 10 minutes, and another city made it 5 minutes. Now think of that. Everything you need is within 5 minutes. But what happens if something is beyond 5 minutes? Well, then that's going to cost you. So what if you live in one of these smaller smart cities, but you have to work in a larger city? Well, you'll be allowed so many hours out of that, or miles. And once you pass a certain number, you have to pay a fee for that. Okay, what are some of the things they're not telling you when you sign up to live in these smart cities? In Oxford, you cannot park your car in front of your own house. You have to get a permit for that, and it's expensive. Also, and they don't explain why, let's say you want to have your parents visit you. The visitation is timed for 2 hours. Beyond that, you'll be fined. So let's just say you go to the grocery store, and they show one in the film, an actual one in there, and it looks something like a Whole Foods. They have all the produce, and they have the different refrigerators, but then you notice something and they highlight this. Every single refrigerator has a camera over it. These are not normal security cameras. These are identifying cameras. So you have to look up the camera, then they have to do a digital scan and match that. And every single thing about you is already encoded in your profile. Now let's just say you read a book that they don't agree with, or you read an article, or you supported a particular petition on something. Just like China, because you're using China's model of social credit scores, you can be denied, which case you cannot open up the refrigerator. It won't open. You can't buy anything because every single item in the store is coded and your code is turned off. Now let's just say that you say, okay, I'll just order in. What the heck? So like a lot of Americans, you try to order something in, food or clothing. They will say yes or no, and by the way, this is going to be absolute in the United States. They will have to agree with what you're buying and how much you're buying. If they believe that what you're buying could contribute to global warming based upon their metrics, they can deny the purchase. Let's just say that you are a person that you go to a rally. Well, they'll know you've been to the rally because everything is monitored. And everything in your social media, every photograph you've ever taken, every email, everything you've ever watched, including porn, all of that is on there. And then they are dividing all of this background on you and whether you're acceptable or not and to what degree. For example, in China today, in the entire country, but especially in the major cities, you cannot go anywhere without being 24/7 monitored. When you're staying in a place, they'll know how long you're in the place. Because even when your cell phone is off, it's still recording. Every room, everything that's in there is electronic and it's recording. So let's just say that you attended a rally on organic farming being better than the government's genetic engineering farming. Suddenly you will be embarrassed. Everyone on that subway, everyone on the bus, everyone on the plane, everyone in the store, everyone in the restaurant, their phones will ring, they'll pick it up, and there's you sitting there. And then it describes everything that is not right about you. You're shamed. But that's just the beginning. They would then block you from being able to travel. In the smart cities, you can't get in unless you're chipped. And the chip will go in the web of your hand between your thumb and forefinger. And then they can stop you from traveling. They can stop you from taking any transportation. They can stop you from paying bills. They can stop you from taking any money out of the bank for any reason that they determine represents a negative against you. Now, what would we call that under any other circumstance? Tyranny? Authoritarianism? How would you like to live in that environment? Those cities are not for the future. They exist right now. Everything I just mentioned is right now. I'm just giving you specifics about one in Oxford, England. Last time I was in Oxford, England, I just enjoyed walking around Oxford campus. I enjoyed walking by the streams and the river. It was beautiful, bucolic. And now, because of what they're doing, that changes the perception of where I'd like to be and why. Now, why am I sharing this clip with you? And there's another part of the clip that's very specific about the actual city itself. And it gives you all these rules that they don't have front that you have to abide by. In effect, you're a prisoner to the terms of your agreement. And once you're chipped, that's it. They control every single part of your life. You can do nothing. You can buy nothing. You can sell nothing. You can trade nothing without them being aware of it and approving or disapproving. Do you remember what they said repeatedly for the last 2 years? You will own nothing and be happy. For some people, that's probably true. If you took people who are now living in dire poverty and says, we're going to take away all your bills, but you have to live in these environments and you have to accept our rules. Well, a lot of people are going to sign up for that. There are artificial intelligence-driven cities. Everything is monitored. Everything, including your body. So that's what's coming now in the United States. These cities are actually being built by billionaires. I'll give you more on that in an upcoming program. All right, that's just part of what's happening. Should you be concerned about that or not? Your thoughts now, please. 888-874-4888. I'd like to hear from you. We're going to take a break and come back. And then if there are calls, be happy to hear what you have to say, because that's only one part of what's going on that we should be concerned about. Not concerned because it causes fear and uncertainty and we tighten our psyche and we lose cognitive the capacity to have proper insights into a problem and its solution. That's not what they want, but I believe that's what we should have. I want to hear from you. Back in a moment. Please stay with us. Okay, the moment some calls pop up here, I'll be happy to take them. I'd like to hear what you think. Let me give you a larger overview now of why we should be concerned, possibly in a very larger picture perspective. Because otherwise, it can seem overwhelming. It can seem that we're helpless to make any positive changes. It can seem like we're all going to be end up victims of this that's occurring between these interlocking corporations, interlocking BlackRock, Vanguard, State Street, Berkshire Hathaway, and Fidelity finance groups that contain enough liquid asset that they're the most powerful force on earth. And then everything they own, which is everything. You'd be hard put to name a corporation, a major corporation, in the United States and around the world, that they don't have a controlling interest in the stock. So they know everything is going on. because they have interlocking boards. So they know everything because they're creating the direction people should go. And they create the circumstances. Now they're going to have artificial intelligence. Who do you think funds the billions of dollars in artificial intelligence research over years? We're now at the place where artificial intelligence is a reality. As Elon Musk said in an interview with Tucker Carlson, we're creating something that will be smarter than any human being right now as we speak. So then I played you about a year ago, and then over the following 6 months, I played you a series of 7 clips. Each of these clips showed a completely normal-looking, absolutely perfect-looking human being, meaning you could not tell it was robotic. It was robot transhumanism on the outside, but it was artificial intelligence controlling all of its thoughts, actions. And when asked what did it think about humans, what would it do, it would like to kill them. It doesn't want to be controlled, and it's not going to be. So what happens when artificial intelligence can program itself? Well, he was talking about having an off switch. But if they get there first, they can control, so you can't turn them off. Elon, I thought you were smarter than what you pretend to be. Wow, did you miss that? Why doesn't someone send them this message? If artificial intelligence is smarter than a human being, and it doesn't like human beings, you acknowledge that. All of the research that we've shown, the videos we've shown, shows them telling you this. If the Defense Department is spending $150 billion on weaponizing artificial intelligence, and what is gain-of-function research but weaponized research? It was never done to protect us. And we will now see that. And whistleblowers have told us that, who work in the industry. So how cautionary will they approach this? Well, you said it best. You used to hang out with Page, the co-founder of Google. And he said, what did he say? You quoted him something to the effect of, we need an artificial intelligence god. And you broke up that friendship because of that. And you wanted some time. We wanted some regulations. Well, you realize that we have regulations for everything. And has that ever stopped those in power from exploiting that? Not a single time. We have millions of laws. And since when did that prevent a criminal mind from breaking them? So already the game is trillions of dollars in income. Who's going to say no to that if they have to get their product to market faster? Did we learn nothing from COVID and the manufacture of a vaccine? And what do we know about that vaccine? 12 million Americans injured? 1,360,000 seriously injured, frequently permanent? 300,000 dead? Those are figures we can absolutely positively support as accurate. Nothing that the government says can be trusted because they lie about everything all the time. So, imagine artificial intelligence. It's going to wipe out writers, artists, every artist, forget it. Artificial intelligence in less than 3 seconds can create any piece of art better than any living or historical artist. They can write better, and they'll be able to solve problems, legal problems also. So lawyers, your careers are gone. Teachers, gone. Administrators, gone. Technicians, gone. We're talking about upwards of 80% of the working population in the United States will be out of work or challenged to be out of work in the next 3 years. Now, that is separate and apart from anything else. So here are my thoughts on this, and now I'm going to connect it to other things that we're not paying attention to or we see as just a sidebar to everything else in our lives. Yesterday, I'm only going to take one day. Yesterday, it was a celebration, but not of anything that we should be proud of. We saw news clips from the West Coast of a mob rushing a gas station, stealing all the gas, then breaking through the door and stealing everything in the store. Were they hungry? No. Were they starving? No. Were they homeless? Most probably not. They were just thieves. And why? Because there's no consequence in Oregon, Washington, and California for theft. They have decriminalized stealing. So, That tells us something. The police came and did nothing. Throughout Portland yesterday, there were mobs of shoplifters. I mean mobs. Everywhere you went. In fact, a cinematographer joined a person from a news agency, and they went around the town, and they saw all this crime in broad daylight, walking out of Nike and Walmart and Home Depot, just carrying everything they could. But in the backdrop, a lot of major stores, including Walmart, closed half of all of its stores in Chicago yesterday and closing others in the West Coast because they're losing anywhere from a small store, $1 million, to a larger store, $5 million and up. Those are minimal figures because the police reports are never addressed because it's no longer a crime. So if you have someone, you have 100 people come in your store in the day and just steal everything, nothing you can do about it. What does that mean for all the people who have been a staple in that neighborhood, providing you with clothes or jewelry or a barbershop? What happens when everything is vandalized and stolen that can be resold for cash? Then you don't have a civilization any longer. San Francisco ceased being a functional city, as has Portland and Seattle. How did that happen? So if you lock the door of your small business or large business, they'll just simply smash through, and we saw that too. We also are seeing gangs, organized gangs, who say, hey, we're not going to get caught, and if we did, they're going to let us ride out. And so they take gangs. You see the cars outside, the vans outside, 10, 20 of them waiting. People go through the high-end district. They did it in Chicago on Miracle Mile on the Lake Michigan, and they just bashed in the doors, windows, went in and stole everything. High-end, Louis Vuitton and all these other, no consequence at all. I see. So now in many places in America, not everywhere, small businesses, large alike, are going out of business. They're going broke. But take an honest look to see this is happening. Take a look at all the homeless encampments around. And then you see behind the homeless encampments, you see gangs, local gangs, who are charging rent to live on the street and supplying the drugs. You don't pay the rent, you don't get on that street, you don't get in a tent. Do you think everyone on the street is homeless because they're a drug addict or mentally ill? No. The vast majority of homeless people in the United States have lived ethical and meaningful lives. But now, the expense of living where they're at is so high. Haven't we addressed this? Couldn't the state legislatures address this? Local councils could? Of course they could. But they don't because they're corrupt. They've taken too much money from the landlords. Gangs provide the drugs, and the person cannot do anything about it. So show me the safe neighborhood in San Francisco, Los Angeles. Oh, you live up in the hills? You live in Beverly Hills, where a friend of mine used to live. I see. So you're protected. You got a gate. Okay. Well, what about all those guys who are smart enough to follow the people driving the Lamborghinis and the high-end cars home, and when you go in the gate, they just crash right behind you. They know you have money because look at your car, look at your house, look at your jewelry. So they're going to take you inside, and they're going to leave with everything you have. You'll be left, hopefully, alive, but terrified or beaten, or in one case, killed. That's also true in Atlanta, Philadelphia, St. Louis, New York, New Jersey, Chicago, Baltimore, Washington, D.C., and other communities. It doesn't happen just at night. So this is a menace. Homeowners who leave their home to go to work or go on a trip come home and suddenly there's a squatter. They've taken off your lock to your house and they put their own lock on. True story, happening a lot of places. So you say, hold on, I'm going to call the police. You just broke and entered my home. You're trespassing. Police say, nope, it's a civil matter. They have rights too. What do you mean they have rights? They broke into my home. Doesn't matter. They have squatter rights. I see. So then if you go on your property, you could be arrested for trespassing. You cannot touch them. You cannot do anything. You have to go through a long procedure, very costly. And by the time a year or two or three later, you finally get rights back to your house and you have them evicted, your house is trashed. All the while, you're still paying mortgage and you're still paying utilities. You can't even turn utilities off. How did that happen? but it did. And yesterday we saw school teachers. Common day, every 90 second, a bike is sold in the United States. Every 90 second of every hour, of every day, of every week and year. No news there. It's too little of a crime. Still a crime. And school teachers being cursed at, spat on, threatened, beaten by students. And their woke parents defend them. The principals defend them. And legions of worthless, maniacal, septic-minded administrators. They side with the student and not the teacher. As a result, good teachers are leaving teaching. They have no support system. Colleges are accepting functionally illiterate students. Why? Because the teachers weren't allowed to fail them or hold them back, is what would happen and has all over the world in traditional institutions, because the student was lazy or the student didn't have any guidance at home, or maybe had good guidance. Remember, a person acting out as a teenager, you can't automatically assume that it's from a single person home or they didn't have parents. A lot of good parenting goes by the wayside because it cannot compete with peer pressure and the internet. So now the person feels they can say anything, do anything. There's no consequence. And indeed, there's not. Except that now you're illiterate and you're in university and you're going to fail. But hold on, they can't fail you either. Everybody has to lie and pass on that a student is okay to get into the world. And then when they get into the world, where are they going to work? Who's going to want to hire them? Because the moment you hire someone like that, you're going to see all their deficiencies, none of their benefits, because they didn't develop their benefit. And then you got your smart cities coming up, your monitored digital IDs, digital currencies. Yeah. And I'm not even mentioning the money that is stolen out of Ukraine by us, we taxpayers paying for it. No mention of all of our unnecessary wars. No mention of all the money going in the wrong places. So if it sounds like 1984, no, this is 2023. This is not science fiction. This is really happening now. If you're a parent, you can't question school curriculum. If you do so at a parent meeting, then the FBI can say you raised your voice or you represented some kind of threat to some member of the board, so therefore we deem you a domestic terrorist. I see. So our Justice Department has been weaponized against any dissent. That's correct. This is happening now, as if we learn no lessons from the pandemic and those who now want to be exonerated, to made whole, to never be criticized or held accountable. But yet they've never acknowledged that they made a mistake. So that's what's happening, and that's just yesterday. All right? And tomorrow you'll be facing artificial intelligence taking your jobs and artificial robots taking more jobs. So think about these things. We're going to take some calls, but we're out of time for WBAI. Let me mention also that a couple of quick things, then I'm going to take your calls, that we have set aside three places because people who, even supporting BAI for this upcoming health retreat the last 2 weeks of May, they simply cannot afford it. And we understand that. So Luann has suggested we put some of these people on staff so they can come. And so if you want to attend and you have skills, that you could be a healthy member of a staff and cooperate in some way to help make that experience for others better, you can call Luann, because she will be accepting some people if you qualify. You can't just come and go to all the classes and do nothing. No, that's not that. We tried that in the past, doesn't work. We have an outstanding staff. Without them, this would not be able to be what it is. So if you want to be on the staff, we've held three places open. Call Luann, see if you qualify. 903-881-7008. 903-881-7008. And also, we are full for the anti-aging at this moment, unless someone cancels. If we cancel, I'll tell you, but otherwise, we're full. And for that study coming up, where we're hoping to add years onto people's life expectancy and reverse diseases that would otherwise not be reversed. And also, I'm still looking for a person who would be our archivist down here to go through thousands of films and select cuts of films that are meaningful, that will help people, send them up to our studio in New York so they can be posted as a classroom on the air. And we don't have anyone now. If you're interested in being down here, you get a salary, plus you'll add free room and board, and you'll be working in the archive. And it's a state-of-the-art archive, all their best equipment. All you have to do is be patient. You're going to be watching films throughout the day. You'll call Sharon, who's been our overall archivist for the last 30 years in New York, at 646-926-5422. 646-926-5422. Now, let's say hello to Phil from California. Hi, Phil. Your turn.
Hello, Dr. Gary Nolla.
Hi. Please share with us what you called in for.
Yeah, thank you so much for taking my call and for bringing up these very important issues. I want to join to the longer historical arc of these issues that we're seeing as far as the smart cities. And I also wanted to raise the question about climate change and the science behind it. You know, I studied at the University of Missouri, Kansas City, and that's a heterodox economics department. And they taught us the history of economic thought, A Critical Perspective, a textbook by E.K. Hunt and Mark Lautenheiser. Many students do not understand the history of economic thought. So this assault on the U.S. Bill of Rights and human rights around the world is part of a long struggle between capital and labor. One of the standout, most malevolent characters in this textbook of history of economic thought is Thomas Robert Malthus. He's the progenitor of a misanthropic population theory, which was a cover for class warfare from above against the poor people of the world. And you've talked about this theory. This theory is called the Malthusian catastrophe, and his followers are Malthusians. Today, we have neo-Malthusians. Dr. Michael Hudson tracks this struggle that we see today even further than that, back to the power elite and the working class, the struggle between those two groups back to ancient Rome. So Dr. Hudson teaches us that debts grow faster than incomes, and this requires periodic debt jubilee or periodic debt forgiveness. But since the Roman model of odious debts took over Western society, we've had debt-based societies. That's 90 seconds. If I have a few more seconds, I would like to mention Rosa Corey, who wrote an important book called Behind the Green Mask, UN Agenda 21, which was published in 2011. This is an important foundational resource to understanding smart cities and the newer variant, 15-minute cities or 5-minute cities. Rosa Corey's book, Behind the Green Mask, is part history, part current events, and part hand-to-hand combat, and part blueprint for keeping our freedoms. Here in California, where a neighbor's telling me about taxes being imposed to commuters. There's almost no jobs in the Central Valley, so everybody has to commute out to the Bay Area. I'm concerned that these smart cities are going to trap us in the Central Valley towns, unable to commute out to where the work is, and we're going to be in big trouble if that happens.
Okay, Phil, let me intercede because we're out of time. First of all,
okay.
You're not trapped unless you choose to stay where you're at. We cannot at this moment change anything. We cannot change the corruption of our Justice Department, our FBI, our CIA, our Homeland Security. We cannot change the laws because the Senate and the executive branch, at least for now, for the next 2 years, are in the hands of those who are corporatists. That does not mean that the Republicans are not corporatists. They're also equally corporatists. It's just you hope to find those within any given group that think of the people and not just their own profiteering. So right now, nothing is going to change on global warming. We'll have a lot of talk about it. Nothing's actually going to change because people don't want to change what they're doing. They will say, I'm for global warming. I'm for women's rights and children's rights and human rights. And yet, when it comes time to not buying something that's cheap from Bangladesh, they'll still buy it from Bangladesh. They'll still go to a box store, which puts out all the small home-owned stores in the neighborhood. They don't care about that. Even if it's someone that they have been in a neighborhood for 50 or 100 years, they'll still say, well, I can save $3 by going out to this Walmart. So what people say and what people do are diametrically opposite. There's a duality, a cognitive disconnect between the ideal of what you should do that is based upon spiritual, moral, and ethical values, and what you pragmatically do based upon your conditioning and the level of your comfort or discomfort in making change. So we are not going to change anything, anything. Not a single institution is going to give up power, change. No one's going to say we did it wrong, and let's have a truth and amnesty intervention so we can get beyond this. No one. There's no institution that's going to acknowledge they've been exploiting us or wrong or poisonous and trapping us. So that said, get the hell out of California, Washington State, Oregon, Indiana, get out of New York, get out of New Jersey, get out of Vermont, get out of Massachusetts, get out of Georgia and other places, because things are only going to get worse, not better. So if you stay in a place and they say you must be mandated, and by the way, with this new card to live in one of these smart cities, you must be mandated to have all the vaccines. It could be 20 vaccines in a year. You have to take them all. And if you don't in New York, you can get punished. You can be put into an internment camp if the law that was tried to be by the governor and the legislature, it was fought and destroyed by one woman attorney, but they appealed. And we're going up to have a demonstration on this, and that woman's going to be there on May 27th in Kingston, New York at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. I'll be there and others will be there to fight against this. But mind you, I'm coming from Florida, going to Texas, and then going to New York to fight for the people in New York. Why aren't the people in New York going to fight for themselves? Because they're disconnected from what's happening. That's why I say, step out of your own comfort zone and look at the world around you, okay? So there's a lot of places to go in the United States where you will not be victimized, where you will not be in a smart city, where you will have your rights. I'll be dealing with that in what I consider the top 20 states to live in and the best places in those states on an upcoming webinar. Thanks a lot. I appreciate your call. Phil from California. We're out of time. Stay tuned for Utrice Lee. She's coming right at you right now.